Lord, you give us so much. You give us money, and you give us families. And just spend a bit of time now praying for both of those things. Thank you for the money that we've got. Help us to be generous with it. Help us to be wise with where it goes. But first, help us to be generous with it. We thank you that the money that we put into the bags, the money that we have in our bank accounts, just makes a big, big difference to other people around the world in your name. And we pray that that continues. And pray for all the little interactions and bits of paper that get shuffled around in order for all that stuff to happen. We pray that the money in these bags turns into food for people who don't have food, for shelter for people that don't have shelter, and for hope for people who don't have hope. And then for our families and the children here at the front and around the building, we pray that this time that they share with each other and they share with their leaders will be a memorable one, where good things happen and good things are talked about and good things are done together and in your name. Amen. So Lord, thank you again for the things that you give us, and we pray that this money finds its way into places near to us and far away from us, and that this money will make a massive difference to people's lives. Amen. Right. Pete isn't here. And Pete, one of his roles is to do this kind of thing week in, week out. And so he structures things around a book in the Bible, a portion in the Bible, or a theme. And his job is to encourage us and to build us in faith and to set the bar quite high. Because as our pastor and as the leader of this church, if he set the bar low for us, that would give us an excuse to be less energetic about the Christian faith. So the bar that he sets for us when he speaks to us from the front is high. I'm not the pastor, so my bar today is very low. So the advice and the what to do next week thoughts that I've got for you for today is very basic and very low, so that I've got a chance, as well as you guys, of taking these thoughts on board. So, I have a story. I have a bunch of bits from a couple of stories from the Bible. Something about a chair, which I have done with you guys before, but I figured it was worth doing it again. And then a really, really straightforward couple of sentences at the end. And then we're done. So the story first. I don't often read things out, but I'm going to read this story. So during the London Olympics in 2012, a huge area of Hyde Park was set aside as a place where the public could rest, meet, eat, and watch the sports on huge television screens. It was a lovely, lively, happy place to be. There was some TV coverage of the crowd during one of the medal ceremonies that focused on an elderly couple who were clearly very patriotic but were visibly dismayed when all the people around them stayed seated when our national anthem was playing. They were so annoyed by everyone's lack of response that they spent the whole of the song urging those that were nearest to them to stand up and sing. Their efforts were so prolonged that they missed the entire song themselves. I wonder what would have happened if they'd just sung. Maybe nothing but them singing and sharing a magical moment together. Maybe a few people near them would have sung. Maybe the whole crowd. Maybe it could have become a thing that happened every time our national anthem was played because of the positivity of two people in a crowd. Now, I'm not going to explain that story at all. Just going to leave that hanging, and I'll talk to you again about it at the end. So you'll know we're nearly done. when I come back to that story. If you've got Bibles to look through, we're doing some stuff from John 13 and John 14. And the John 13 bit is just a couple of verses, and it is exactly the verses that we've just sung. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Now, chapter 14 is a little longer, and I am going to read the whole thing. But I suppose I knew, but I hadn't really realized that that verse and John 14 were said at the Last Supper. Now, all of the stuff that I'm just about to read to you from John 14 was at the Last Supper. Jesus had a load of stuff on his mind, but still was being concerned and showing love towards those folks that were around him. So this chat now was spoken during Jesus' most troubled times. Do not let your... Oh yeah, so it's just said to Peter, will you really lay down your life for me? I tell you the truth, before the cock crows, you will disown me three times. And then, as sometimes happens in the Bible, he's just said this big bombshell to Peter, and then he says, don't worry about it. Kind of. This is what it says, he says. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. He's just said to Peter, you're going to deny me three times. You're going to deny me three times. But don't worry about it. That's amazing. You're going to do all sorts of rubbish, Peter. But don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been amongst you for such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing this work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth, all who have faith in me will do what I have been doing. And they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world can't accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you, and he will be with you. I won't leave you orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Those who have my commands and obey them are the ones who love me. Those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas, not Iscariot, said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, Those who love me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them and will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled and don't be afraid. You heard me say I'm going away and I'm coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold on me, but the world must learn that I love the Father, and I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come on, let us leave. It's a big old speech at the end of the Last Supper. There's a load of stuff in there. But there's a load of stuff which says, if you want to know God, know me. If you want to get to God, come through me. If you want to see God, see me. And if you want to follow me, just do the stuff I say. Just do the stuff I say. Follow my commands. Be obedient to the things that I ask you to do. So, this hopefully is where it starts to get just into this idea of just making today really, really straightforward for me, but making it straightforward for you as well. So we're going to start with some A-level physics. I haven't taught A-level physics for a little while, but I had the pleasure, and genuinely the pleasure, of doing some revision lessons with some folks at Surly Hall Sixth Form College this year. And it caused me to remember how much I love it. And it caused me to remember how much I love the little part of the subject called astrophysics. So cosmology, I think it can also be called. But the science of the stars and the science of the planets and the universe and all that kind of thing. Space. Yeah, that's it. That's the word I was looking for. Space. And it struck me as I was revising this stuff in order to teach these students that when you look out into space to the stars, and I hope you realise that some of the brightest stars you can see are actually the planets. And the very first things you see in the sky after the moon when it starts to get dark are usually planets. But once all the stars are out and you can see them twinkling away in the heavens, the only information that they give us, there's only two things that you can tell from a star. It's light and its position. That's it. All it gives you is its light and its position. You can't tell by looking at a star how big it is. You can't tell by looking at a star what temperature it is. You can't tell by looking at a star how far away it is. You have to work all that out from the position and the light. So all of the stuff, I mean, some of these phrases you might have hanging around in your head somewhere. There's a type of star called a red giant. Is that a phrase that rings a bell? No one can look at a star and measure it and go, oh, that's massive, that's a red giant. Scientists can only tell how big a star is from the quality of the light that it gives off. That's it. If you look at stars in the sky, all you can tell is the position and the light. That's it. Everything else has to be worked out. The only information that can be obtained from humans is their words and their actions. Everything else has to be worked out. If you do something or say something, whether you meant that in love or in jest or in hate or in anger, is something that somebody else has to work out. So if you are following Jesus' commands, you've got two options, your words and the things that you do. In order to convey this message to everybody else, that it's because you love him that you are doing this thing. Stars, light and position. Us, it's just words and actions. Now I'm hoping that we believe in the power of prayer. But if someone doesn't understand or believe that prayer is a thing, prayer doesn't feature in one of those useful things that you can do. Words and actions are the things that show other people who you are and what your relationship with Jesus and what your relationship with God is. The fact that you are praying for somebody, maybe they're touched by that in some way. Maybe they think, ah, that's sweet. But if you're talking to somebody about Jesus and you're sharing your relationship with Jesus with somebody, prayer is a thing that we kind of get. I read a thing that a friend had posted on Facebook, and it said, "My friend has two cats. He calls them thoughts and prayers because they're both useless." And that's the perception that we are struggling with. So the only two things that we have to get our message across are our words and our actions. If we are to demonstrate faith, we must say it and we must show it. If we're to demonstrate love, we must say it and we must show it. And Pete, I think, you know, when you summarise what the preacher has been saying and you go, yeah, I love what you said, and you look and you say what you thought you got, and Pete goes, I didn't say that. But I think one of the things that Pete has been talking about over the last few weeks is this idea of faith being linked to action. And faith and action. So I said, I've done this before a couple of times, but I'll do it again because I think it works for me. This is a chair. It's not a very pretty chair. It's quite dirty, really. It probably needs to go in the bin, but it's a chair nonetheless. And this is me sitting in a chair. This is not me sitting in a chair. Because I have faith in chairs. I don't know whether that's because I've got experience of chairs. I don't know whether it's because I've got trust and know that I've sat on chairs before. But when you or I sit in a chair, we just sit in a chair. We don't really test it out too much beforehand. There was a... I don't listen to Radio 4. But I remember at some point in my long-distant past, there was a Radio 4 program where you had to act out things in the means of an adverb. I don't know if that rings any bells. But somebody used to give you an action to do, and you had to do it according to that adverb. So I'm going to sit into this chair in several ways, and I need you to work out the adverb. So here's the first one. I'll do the first one, then you can join in with the rest. Because I'm looking around going, I can't remember what adverb is. Okay, that's fine. This is me sitting in this chair. Carefully. Okay, that was carefully. How about this one? Confidently, okay. Stupidly, yeah, nice. Carelessly, okay. How can I do it different? Oh, yeah, that was exactly what I had. Flamboyantly. Right. Right. But this isn't sitting in a chair. This is not sitting in a chair. Look, everyone, this chair, brilliant. It would be lovely if we were to sit in this chair, wouldn't it? How fantastic that would be. Chairs are amazing. I'd love you to come and sit in this chair. Because what I'm not doing is displaying by action any faith at all in the chair. Thank you very much. Two quotes from Francis of Assisi. Ooh, one from the internet. I'm not putting any money on which one you're going to remember the most. Let's see how we go. One. It's no use walking somewhere to preach unless our walking is our preaching. I'll say that again. It's no use walking somewhere to preach unless our walking is our preaching. If a preacher walks through the door and starts saying stuff, but as soon as they're out of the room, that doesn't describe their life. All of that was a waste of time. The people who you know in your regular everyday life who haven't got faith, you're Jesus. You are Jesus. If they know that you have said that you are a Christian, then you to them represent Jesus. So if your walk doesn't represent Jesus, then you're going against what this has just said. It's no use walking somewhere to preach unless our walking is our preaching. Number two. Preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. Say it again. It's nice, that, isn't it? Preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. We represent Jesus in everything, in our words and in our actions. We should represent Jesus in our actions, even when we're being silent. And the internet. This is described as the simplest way to evangelize. I'm so nervous saying this one, because I know how it finishes. Here we go. Tell people that you are a Christian, and then don't be a jerk. I'll say that again, because I like it. Tell people that you're a Christian, and then don't be a jerk. I said I was setting the bar low. This isn't the sort of stuff that I would want my pastor to say. This isn't the kind of, and do this, and do this, and be enthusiastic about the whole thing, and look for God in every corner of your life. I'm in the privileged position where I can leave that to Pete. Tell people you're a Christian, and then don't be a jerk. And for me, in my everyday, regular Monday to Saturday life, maybe I don't do that enough. Both bits. There's two actions in there. One, tell people you're a Christian. And then two, I won't say the J word again, but don't let God down. Tell people you're a Christian. That's a big deal for some people. Big enough for me. I've worked in the same place for 15 years and it's still tricky. Tell people you're a Christian. And then don't let him down. And maybe it is actually as straightforward as that if you're setting the bar low, which I am today. I'll come back to that story. During the London Olympics in 2012. Now, I've said that now, and I've written that down, but it might have actually been the Queen's one of the Jubilee things. Hardly matters. It was still in Hyde Park, and there was still the national anthem. The story's better for the Olympics, anyway. During the London Olympics in 2012, a huge area of Hyde Park was set aside as a place where the public could rest, meet, eat, and watch the sports on huge television screens. It was a lovely, lively, happy place to be. There was some TV coverage of the crowd during one of the medal ceremonies that focused on an elderly couple who were clearly very patriotic, but were visibly dismayed when all the people around them stayed seated when our national anthem was playing. They were so annoyed by everyone's lack of response that they spent the whole of the song urging those that were nearest to them to stand up and sing. Their efforts were so prolonged that they missed the entire song themselves. I wonder what would have happened if they'd just sung. Maybe nothing but them singing and enjoying the moment. Maybe a few people near them. Maybe the whole crowd. Maybe it would have become a thing that happened every time our anthem was played because of the positivity of two people in a crowd. Jesus says, "Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Instead of encouraging other people to do stuff or not do stuff or believe this or not believe this, or just maybe we, one of our roles is just actually to love one another. Not worry about what other people are doing. Not be judgmental or critical or anything. Just develop our relationship with God and get closer and closer to Jesus by doing what he says, which is to love one another. Best way to have faith in a chair is to use it. The best way to have faith in Jesus is to start with loving one another. I said the bar was low, so let's see if we can give that a go in our own way. Now, it may well be that something I've said has resonated with you over and above anything that I've said. But having faith in chairs relies on you sitting in them. And can I just, it's going to be a weird week, but can I ask that you notice how you sit in chairs this week? And relay that to how you display the faith that you have in our Jesus. Okay, we'll sing one more song, and then tea and coffee, and chits and chats and everything else. I got in the habit of using the same verse to finish off every thing I do, so I'm going to do it again. This is the last couple of verses of Jude. So, to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. Brackets, God thinks you are ace. To the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Big finish. Amen.